Hello and welcome to the Rockdown podcast. I am your host, Mr. Cheese, and today we have a very special guest. Please welcome Clash Grenade of the mighty Lord of the Lost to the show.
Hello, everybody. I'm glad to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure, absolute pleasure to have you here. I know you've been pre-warned that the questions do go all over the place. So the only thing we will just get up front, this is the only kind of music-related thing. If there's anybody who's just finding about the band today through the podcast, can you just tell us a little bit about the band, bit of the history and what you do, etc.?
Okay. Lord of the Lost, a band that exists now for a bit more than 10 years. And we're born in the gothic kind of scene, but never tried to be gothic. So we also involved, we're some kind of a dark rock metal band. And the German press says that we're the most funny gothic metal band from Germany ever existed. So we're about to have fun. We are writing music for fun. It's about a couple of friends that write music together and go on tour together and just trying to make you an amazing time with some dark music, mostly dark music. I mean, we have also like party songs that are about, I don't know, can I say that? Like fucking as well. So so it's more about the fun of music. So that's us, I think.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I mean, at the end of the day, that's, you know, that's, I think that's what it's all about, because music's there to make people feel good, isn't it? So.
Right. And we try to provide music for all kinds of situations. I mean, we've been played at parties. We've been played also at funerals already. So I think we have music for a whole lifespan, probably. I hope so. I mean, so yeah, from the funniest moments to the saddest moments, I think you can be with us. But I prefer more the fun moments. But I mean, yeah, if it makes people happy, even in sadness or whatever, that's great.
Brilliant. Okay. Right. Well, on to the first question. Do you have any superstitions?
Not really. I think we believe in, or I believe also in, what goes around comes around. If you give an input to your own and the people around you, then you most of the time you just get back what you put in. Probably not directly, so you think like, oh, that's unfair. But if you keep on being like that, you will earn what you invested. So it's more like what goes around comes around. And if there's something nice happening, I let it, or let's say I think of it like, oh, that's a good fortune. But for example, if something is negative, I don't collect it as like, oh, that should have happened to me. It's more like, if it's a positive thing, I believe in it. If it's too negative, I just think like, okay, let's work on that. But I think God was not involved. So I'm spiritual, but not religiously following rules. Like, oh yeah, if you do like that, you know, God will always be on your side. This not. I mean, if I feel good with it, I stay on that behavior. And I'm trying to behave that people enjoy me as much as I enjoy myself. So
yeah,
we're not quite spiritual. We're more like we believe in science more than religion.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree. Like, and like you said, with karma, you know, really with what you were saying there, I always feel my very simple rule is, if I can go to bed, lay my head down and honestly know within my heart that I've been a good guy, then that's right. A pretty good starting point, you know.
Right. That's good. That's amazing.
So, what has been your greatest ever adrenaline rush?
I mean, the good part of my job when we are on tour is like that we have once in a while amazing adrenaline rushes. if I believe in the in, or think about one of the last rushes, there was, I don't know if that was an adrenaline rush, but if we got told like, hey, Iron Maiden wants to have you guys on tour with them.
Yeah.
There was, I don't know if that's adrenaline. If you just got told this and it's like, whoa. And let's say the adrenaline rush in the last months was a bit not so frequently showing up because of the lockdown.
Of course.
At home, adrenaline is a bit like reduced. So that's why I'm thinking of the Iron Maiden shows, that announcement for us, like, hey, the management called us. They want you. It was like, what? What?
Yeah, but that's huge, okay, though, isn't it?
That counts. That counts. I think that actually counts.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was more like thinking like almost dying kind of adrenaline rush, like falling or sky jumping rush. But I think that was the lately actual super rush. Like, hey,
yeah, and to be honest, it's that same feeling, because I guarantee that your stomach will have just dropped out of your body when you got that call.
Yeah, and it's so crazy, and I'm still happy that Iron Maiden wants us still on their tour for next year. And that was also like some kind of a rush when they also asked us, and if you don't mind playing four more shows with us, like 11 shows, is that okay for you as well? And I was like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, we can make that happen. If we're not too busy, can do
you're
that.
Right. Yeah, and this was the adrenaline rush part two, that they even want us for more shows.
That's fantastic.
So that was like, what? Yeah, super, super cool. And since the guys seem to be super friendly and nice, we got told from we got a friend that was playing in Ghost. I can't say a name, but they were supporting Iron Maiden as well, and we just got told that super cool, everybody is super nice and friendly. There's just not so much space for the band, because they have a lot of billiard rooms, smoking rooms, reading rooms for Iron Maiden. But it's like the best experience you can have, and everybody's super friendly and super amazing support. So we're looking forward to it, to have such a nice tour with Iron Maiden. And it sounds unbelievable if I say that. I still don't believe it, not because of Corona, because I hope Corona is not a reason anymore to postpone more shows next year. I just find it incredible that Iron Maiden even knows that we are existing.
Yeah, yeah.
That is already something like, what? Amazing. Sorry, I just got lost in that thought, touring with Iron Maiden.
No, that's why we ask the questions. That's brilliant. Outside of music, is there anything that you're amazing at, or is there anything that you're absolutely terrible at?
Whew. Oh, being amazing. I mean, I think I'm somebody that's saying I'm not really amazing at anything. I could say like I can do a lot of things, but nothing like a pro, or like somebody that should win the Olympic Games or something.
Yep.
I still really believe that I'm quite average and that this is fine. it's really not easy, because I'm also somehow a bit of a lazy person.
We can expand the question. Is there anything you would like to be amazing at?
I mean, it would be great if I could have been writing amazing songs already that became super world hits, like Happy Birthday from Stevie Wonder or something. And that would be cool. I mean, I would love to. I mean, I would love to be a better mountain biker, maybe. But I'm not so much in awe. It would be so good if I could be something. I just try to just get better.
You've mentioned it twice about the biking then. That's obviously something you have a passion for.
Yeah, I mean, not for such a long time already, but I used to go skating when I was a teenager, and like skateboarding as well. So like those kind of stuff. Oh, cool. But since I got older as well, and I don't want to break my bones anymore. You know, I mean, mountain biking is quite breaking bones as well, depending on what you do. But I just simply love to ride a good bike. And for example, going out with Jared, the keyboarder and multi-instrumentalist of the band. And once in a while, also going off track and just going a bit off road and stuff like that. More like the dads would ride a mountain bike, not like freaking out and just hoping to come home alive. But I love riding a bike, and that's pretty cool. Also like to ride a bit through the woods, through the nature, and the mountain bike is very good for that. And I like technical things. So if you have great like whatever good parts, like brakes and everything and stuff like that. I'm a bit like a nerd. I like to have good stuff. Good tools are always helping you out for everything.
That's very cool. So another completely different question. Do you collect anything?
I think from the heart, I'm a collector. From the size of my apartment, I am more a rational person that has... or tries to have only as many things as I really use. And that's already quite hard. because I used to collect CDs when there was more, not a reason, because it's still a good reason to collect CDs. But since Spotify and such... I'm just thinking I keep my apartment more free and having more space and just buying some kind of collector's editions from bands or something like that.
Yeah.
That are more complete experience. For example, like the last tour record that had an own video screen in the CD built in and stuff.
Like, oh, wow.
That. So it's something that is pretty cool and is something... that you don't have to have so often,
yep.
To have some kind of collectible, and I have a bit of it's not really collecting, but since people found out that I like Star Wars and I got gifts from Star Wars, I have some kind of a Star Wars generation shrine, like the Darth Vader helmet is figure of Darth Vader, and compared to that, also the Kylo Ren helmet and the figure is a bit like, like generations, like the grandfather and the son of the son. And I also got an amazing gift from a fan that made me really do that shrine is the... a picture and an original signature from Dave Prowse, who played the Darth Vader in the first three movies, and it's completed with a collector's lightsaber from Darth Vader with LEDs inside sounds and shit. So I have a little bit of a nerdy area in my apartment, and also some kind of a stormtrooper, like half the size of a man, that works quite fine with my Philips Hue lights that are everywhere, my smart lights.
Yeah.
So, but I'm not really a collector. I'm happy that with your PlayStation or whatever you have, the games, you also can download them. But also buy them as well, and that all doesn't take so much space anymore. And this is for me nice. The digitalization, it just gives more space to people in their apartments. And somehow it's like social media takes all your space in the head, but on the other side, yes, you get more space back from not having too much physical items that you have to have.
Yeah, so, yeah.
I mean, I would be proud to still have a huge wall of CDs or LPs. And I was just thinking if I start collecting LPs because it's more like an artwork and stuff. But since I don't have so much space, I try to keep every spot clean. And just in lockdown, let's say I got a plant collector. My house or my room here almost looks like some kind of a jungle with palm trees and shit.
Right.
I don't know. But I have an affection for plants, let's say. I don't know why, but like palm trees and stuff that I can leave home alone when I'm on tour. It's right. just great. It's awesome. That's what I like.
No, very cool. Very cool. So another very different question. Do you cook?
Yes, I do. I do. And I like it. Sometimes I wish to have more of the knowledge behind cooking. Like, if you probably can imagine that every kind of vegetable has its own treatment, like how long to cook it or the way to cook it. Like, I don't know, with tomato to put a little bit of sugar in it so you don't have so much acid from the tomatoes, or cook it long enough. You know, yeah. Like, for example, in the Italian kitchen, that is super simple. But the knowledge behind the simplicity is quite huge, because somehow it can only taste super amazing when it's simple if you just keep the very defined treatments of the stuff you cook and how you cook it. And that's pretty impressive. That's what I really like. And also, I mean, I love Chinese food as well. I start loving French food way more than the past, because my girlfriend is from France, from the Normandy. And I found French kitchen a bit suspect because they also have a lot of different stuff and they eat everything from all the animals as well. But also in China, when we were there, we got plenty of food. It was endless and it was still very cheap, and they eat everything from all the animals. But it was pretty amazing. You were just like eating way too much every time, but after 1 or 2 hours, you could keep on eating. I don't know if that's also some kind of a secret behind Chinese food, that if it's well made and from originally China, that it doesn't stuff you too hard, like some food does from Europe more maybe.
But I
find food very interesting. I love food, and I love cooking as well. And lately I got more into barbecue since I got that fancy gas grill with so-called sizzle zone for high temperature for steaks and stuff like that. It's a typical man thing. I think every man loves barbecue and loves to have a great gas grill and stuff like that. But that's what I was into it a bit more, because it's pretty nice to have it. So I love cooking, and I love also kitchenware. Good knives are killer. And I love also... I would more like to collect good knives with amazing woods and maybe Japanese, what is it, knife smith techniques or something.
Oh,
like that.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
That's something I would love to have way more. But also, I kept myself away from having too many knives. I think those three bigger knives I have from Japan and stuff like that. But sometimes I just take those knives and hold them and think like, what an amazing craftsmanship in this.
Yeah. Knife.
And that's great as well. Like enjoying everything around cooking. And if you have great pots with nice whatever ideas in it that work quite proper, and then that's great. I like to be amazed by good tools, kitchen stuff, good bike stuff, whatever. If it's well made, almost everything can be amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's very cool. So now I've got a very, very tricky follow-up question for you. Who is the better cook, you or your girlfriend?
Oh, that's a tough question. back in the days, but it's quite a long time ago, I was together with a chef as well. And she was, of course, she was in cooking was brilliant because that's a chef is made of. I think, hard to say, because I think we're almost at the same level. Probably she cooked more than I did in the past. But what's way more important is that we both enjoy cooking the same food. So
right.
That's,
yep.
And I let her do the salad, for example, then I do other stuff. But that's really the main goal that we achieve, to enjoy the same food. That's yeah. pretty cool. And so we are very good together to cook. So I think it's that we are able to cook together. That's yeah. important. But also I can cook and she can cook. But it's really hard to say who's the better chef.
Right, yeah. That's cool.
But that's fine. Cool. As long as yeah. we enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my wife's definitely a better cook than I am. I can there's a few dishes that I do kind of really well, but she's one of these people that you can just give her
yeah.
anything and she'll make something amazing. But like you said, actually cooking together is a really, really nice thing to do, isn't it?
So. Oh yeah, that's cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we also love to go out for dinner and stuff. And it's just pretty amazing that you can share almost every dish. So it feels like you ordered two dishes and then you can just exchange. And it's pretty good. I mean, it's really something amazing if you have somebody that also enjoys food. Not everybody enjoys food.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
And if both of that couple enjoys food and the same food, that's pretty amazing. That's
yeah,
pretty cool.
Definitely. Definitely. So, who is your hero?
I would go for more than one hero, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I don't know, for example, parents are not necessarily the heroes, but they're a very important person to look at or look
yep.
up. I mean, for example, in our band, Chris is the singer and band leader. And that's good because the singer is really the one that is always in front.
Yep.
And he really wants to lead and he's able to lead. And he's one of my best friends. And I follow him without questioning in
right,
general. You
right.
know what I mean?
That's fantastic.
Because I know what he does. He does it because, and he chooses because of the greater good for the band. And I always give the best I can so that he is free for other things
yep,
as well.
Yep.
And somehow I would not say that he's my hero, but he's since he's my friend and not only my boss
mm-hmm.
somehow.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not really my boss,
yeah.
but you know what I mean. He's some kind of a hero for me, but also the other guys are in their art and their kind of way are heroes then if I think about it.
Clearly a huge amount of love and respect within the band. Well, that's amazing.
Exactly. And I think I'm not generalizing things so much, probably. I mean, I always have a hero and like probably I don't know, in skateboarding I had somebody that I liked the most, for example Tony Hawk, that
mm-hmm.
I
yep.
was able to meet one day.
Oh,
like,
wow.
20 years ago or something. And these are kind of like not really my hero, but I feel like that dude did a good job in his life and stuff like that. And I also have more like one bass player that I appreciate. And
who's that?
It's hard to say because the one that I still enjoy and was one of the first guys I thought like bass playing super cool was Les Claypool from Primus.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because he was funny as well. He was funny. He was doing music, but he was not only like, hey, I'm John Petrucci, I can play a million notes in a second.
Yeah.
And he's just like, okay, I bring style and craziness into this instrument and things you've never heard before, because I am trying to reinvent myself on the instrument and going ways that probably not work, but he made it work because he's an iconic person, songwriter and everything. That's pretty cool. I mean, it's not that I followed his way, but the art of creating music was super cool. And of course, and not of course, but in my bass teacher that I only see once in a year just to have a coffee together and just like exchange how our lives go. And that's also cool. I mean, he's more known in the 80s, playing with Romina Power and what was this? And bands like that, like the 80s.
Yep, yep.
And but he taught me a friendly kind of playing bass, like having fun with playing bass, being a nice friend, like whatever that is. You can call me and I can give you advice for whatever that is, music wise, music business wise or so. So that was really something like, I play an instrument and it means also being social and having human interaction in the good way. And not only I want to play music, I want to get laid or whatever. that was pretty cool. And that person is pretty amazing. And reminds me of, I have to give him a call because he's a person, I can make him a happy person if I tell him, you know what? We are supporting Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
You are a little piece of that all.
Of course, because, yeah.
I mean, probably the band even without would have been playing now with Iron Maiden, but I'm still like 10 years of the history of the band. And he would be like, wow, one of my former students is supporting Iron Maiden. And he would be proud. And that's super cool. I mean, that would be happy as well to give him good information.
Yeah, of course, of course.
Yeah.
Did you say he was a teacher?
Right. And he's still a teacher, I think. But I haven't seen him for 2 years, so I really have to catch up with him.
Yeah. So, which leads to the question, how was school for you? Was it kind of anything memorable? Was it good? Was it bad? Anything specific with regards to your school?
School for me, my school was always cool. I was born and raised in a village.
Right.
It was a village near a smaller town near Hamburg.
Yep.
I mean, Hamburg in Germany is quite a capital city somehow.
Yep.
It's a bigger city. But I got born and raised in a village. Not so much a village, but regular stuff. You could wash your car, you could buy cars, you could refill your car, going into different grocery stores, having a good school, whatever. But the next school after your first years of school was in the next city then and stuff like that. But we had a good childhood, I think. And it was the time where my kids said, like, okay, you can go into the forest, but you come back home before it's getting dark or something like that. And so I grabbed my friend and we just stayed. And we just left home. I mean, okay, I think we were like 8, 9, 10 years old or a bit older maybe. But we could just go into the next forest and stay away and just came back like 3 or 4 hours. And I think this is not so common these days anymore because people are more worried about their kids or probably too much traffic or too much whatever. And that was pretty cool. I mean, we could really just go in the dirt, trying to go more away in the woods, like, oh, next week we just go there. We've never been there and stuff like that. And doing crazy stuff, and not crazy stuff, but, you know, like whatever we wanted because we were alone. And also the school was like by foot, like 10 minutes away from our home, 10, 15 minutes. So was pretty cool. And when we got older, we were the skater punks, more the California skater punks, you know, the more the rich kid punks, I know. But then there was the typical sports club.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a bit more like, yeah, we're the cool guys, like the football players in the United States. And yeah. we were like the guys just skating and listening to punk rock and metal and stuff. Then. But, I mean, we just were like between 5 and 10 people. We just had a good time. We formed good friendships out of this, being abandoned by the normal people. Mm-hmm. Not being abandoned. I mean, there was no violence.
Yeah.
Or super bad events of whatever. But we were like our own kind. And we were also the more the people just leaving the village and trying to do something out of that life. And
yep.
we got spread all over Germany or all over the world and stuff like that. And that's pretty cool. So, yeah. And then I just did my high school stuff. That was also pretty okay. The next city. And because if you live here, you get a car with 18, you know?
Yep.
And then you can go wherever you want. It's everybody has a car
mm-hmm.
because there's too much space in between the villages.
Yeah.
Not like in the cities. And then I just went to Hamburg with 22 and just got into that music shop where I worked like for... Now, I stopped working there, but it was like 17 years in that music shop
oh, wow.
and doing the bands beside. Mm-hmm. So it was perfect.
Yep.
So nobody understands you better than somebody in a music shop
yep.
if you want to go out and play music.
Yep.
And so that was pretty cool. I mean, I have quite good memories looking back to my school and my friends and the time in the skate park or listening to music and... Quite without drugs, if I can talk about me, just starting drinking or being drunk for the first time with 18. So it was quite drug-free, just having fun stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's quite uncommon to be. But my friends took all the stuff like mescaline, cocaine,
right,
all the pills and stuff. Sometimes I did not even get it that they were on something. I was just like, yeah, I don't mind. But I was quite a drug-free kid. Even never smoked a cigarette in my life, just a couple of joints, and it's not my thing.
Yeah, no, that's very cool. I'm funny enough, I'm the same. I've never never kind of done drugs of any sort. It's just not one of those things that I've ever thought I want to do. I guess everybody's different, but I think it's actually very cool to not have done stuff like that, you know. So
yeah
awesome. Again, changing things a little bit, what is the favorite city that you've ever been to?
Ooh, that's also not easy to answer. I mean, I always come back to Hamburg. I mean, not only driving back to Hamburg, also like saying that for me, Hamburg is in the average the most complete city. I mean, I miss a bit the more of the sun, but since climate change arrived here, the summers get warmer and warmer and the winters milder and milder. So on the short term, I really enjoy the weather the last 10 years as well.
Yep.
But I mean, and that's great. That's why I love traveling, because I think it's good to just be at different places, even if it's not too good for the environment to travel.
Yeah, yeah.
We also found out now. But for example, I really enjoyed cities like Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Where it's like super big everything and it's super too much, but if you just go on the other side of the river, then you're in the forest and you can just walk up a hill and it looks like classic old China.
Mm-hmm.
Then you are on the mountain with a lot of trees and stuff and you look over to the city. You have a crazy amazing view, and in the night, like on a Sunday evening, you can just sit in the city at the water, and it's super quiet and it's crazy. And this amazed me a lot, but I also like cities like Barcelona in Spain.
Yep.
With the nice beaches and the amazing city itself. But I also pretty enjoyed New York.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been just for 2 days there.
Yep.
Just on St. Patrick's Day in 2015. But that was also like crazy. Yeah. I mean, if you have to pay $40 for parking space for 2 hours, yeah, then it's like, what? But that was pretty amazing as well. And I've seen also some other cities in China. And I'm also looking forward to go to Japan. And I think I'm just really feeling good if I can think of all the cities that are so beautiful in this world and so different. And that's amazing. But the good thing is that I'm still very happy and lucky and grateful with my Hamburg here in Germany.
Yep.
That most of my needs and urges that I have from a city are pleased by the city. So I'm quite lucky that I just got born here.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I mean in the near area.
Yeah.
So, but I love that cities can be so different. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I have a lot of favorites in different styles.
Have you been to many different cities in China?
I've been to six cities. My funny thing is, my first holiday I ever had, 2007, with flying in a plane, was going to Hong Kong and then to the Philippines. So that was quite massive, a massive first experience of a yes, foreign city.
Yep.
Being in Hong Kong, and where have I? We've been in Shanghai. That was also pretty. Guangzhou,
yeah,
and I think the other one was Guangzhou, Shenzhen, like the center of all kinds of business in China.
Yeah,
seems
yeah,
like whatever you buy from China, if there's a small node on the bottom, it says like Shenzhen,
yeah,
something district. Yeah. Guangzhou, Shenzhen. I don't know. I forgot. Maybe Shanghai, Beijing. No, I wasn't in Shanghai, I think. Or was I? No, I was in Shanghai as well, I think. Oh my goodness. And so crazy. And we've been in Guangzhou, I think, to an ancient temple. You know, these houses with the dragons.
Oh yes, yes, yeah, yeah.
And with a lot of gold and wood, and we had to climb a small mountain with complete in the forest. And at the bottom of the mountain, there was like a market where we have seen also like skinned dog skulls. Like
oh, wow.
we offer porks. Work here and stuff like, and all that crazy stuff, and then going onto that temple, and from the temple's roof, you could see almost all China. That felt like that, like the
oh,
whole
wow,
city around, and all the rivers going around, and that was so impressive as well.
Yeah.
So I'm just lucky that I'm able to travel actually most of the world, and seeing so many things. Also, Los Angeles was pretty cool.
Yeah.
If I think about it. And, yeah. Let's say I was not disappointed, but I was not so impressed by Las Vegas, except it's massive everything kind of like amusement park thingy.
Yeah.
I mean, America also impressed me as the whole thing that America has everything in the world, like all kinds of climate changes and stuff.
Yeah.
That was super impressive. I just love traveling, and I'm so blessed that I could already see everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You cannot ever see everything.
Yeah.
But
oh, brilliant.
Amazing. Super cool.
Brilliant. Okay, so we've got three final questions for you.
All right, here we go.
The first one is, do you believe in ghosts?
No. I don't think so. Let's say it's easy to believe in those, like, even if it's your own problem, like, oh, I put a glass there, now it's gone. And if you really think like, oh no, you just forgot to put it there.
Yeah.
Or if you see a light somewhere and then it's just like explainable physically, whatever, or a person or an animal or something. So I believe mirror in spirits, but it's also more like in the imagination of the people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
but spirits can be a good thing. It's like the ghost of my grandma, because she was such an amazing person. It's good to think that you can keep her spirit to be also a better person, some kind of.
Yep.
Like she's taking care or something. But I don't believe in ghosts if I reduce that question to like supernatural events.
Yeah, no, that's fine. So next question. Are you a forgiving person?
Yes, I am. Depends a bit on what happened. But I think sometimes I'm better in forgiving people than myself.
All right. Yeah.
Sometimes like, fuck, you should do this better. But it's also important to reflect on yourself. You know, I think it's really important to know how you look in the mirror. You know, how you... What kind of person you are. Mm-hmm. And to reflect how you affect on people and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree 100% because I always think before I do anything, I always think, would I want that done to me? You know, so, and that I think, I think that's really important. So, yeah, definitely. So our final question, and this is the only question that we ask everybody. When Class Grenade is no longer on the earth, how would you like to be remembered?
I think as the friendly guy that tried to help and support and, I mean, it was also nice to be, it would be cool if I would be remembered for music as well.
Mm-hmm.
But for example, it just makes me think of my funeral somehow. That, for example, I want that the people, or not that I want, but I... It's okay if people are sad. That means they are missing something mm-hmm. of me.
Yeah.
But that they more likely celebrate it and thinking of the good parts, good times they had with me.
Yeah.
So I simply hope that people thought like, that was a cool guy. We always had a good time. And if there was something going on, we just managed to make it better.
Very good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's absolutely fantastic. Well,
that's cool.
It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much. Obviously, I hope the Iron Maiden tour goes incredibly well. And with everything that's all right. And with everything in your future, I hope you get absolutely everything that you dream and that you deserve.
Oh, thank you very much. And I hope you're going to have a lot of nice interview partner. Because it was super fun to talk to you, Stuart.
Thank you. Again, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. In the show notes, we'll put all the links to Facebook, YouTube, everything, so everybody who's just hearing about you for the first time can find out. And again, once more, thank you for being on the show, Klaus.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I'm going to check out your channel to see what other people said and how it was.
Brilliant. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. If you have, please feel free to leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast from. If you want to check out the website, you can do so at www.rockdownpodcast.com. And today we're going to leave you with a track from our guest. This is 6 Feet Underground by Lord of the Lost. First kiss to your last breath, light as
deep down in